Now, here's a tricky question, really complicated question, which will tax even the greatest math brain. How many fingers do you have in total? How many fingers do you have in total? Yeah? 10. Fantastic. And that's going to be really, really helpful. Helps us to sort of count and do all kinds of things. But maybe the number 10 is useful for us. God knows that we need to know him and to know his ways, and he has given us 10 commandments. And hopefully if the... Oh, look at that. It's working today. It's amazing what batteries do, isn't it? So the last few weeks we've been thinking about the 10 commandments that God gave to Moses. Now, it's a long time ago he gave those laws, but they are still so important to Christians today. The New Testament talks about the impact of these things, not just on Israel, the nation to whom they were first given, but to Christians as well. We understand them in the light of all that Jesus has done, but they're still so important to teach us who God is and who we ought to be as well. Can anyone remember what the first two commandments were? Because we've already learned the first two commandments. Again, this will tax you even more than counting your fingers. Anyone remember? You don't have to tell me the whole verse, but just tell me what the idea of the first two commandments were. Anyone help me? Yeah. Exactly right. Thank you, Anabora. No idols. So don't worship things that you've made or that someone else has made. Don't even worship the things that God has made. Worship him only. That's it, the first one's no other gods. So they're sort of similar, aren't they? No other gods, and don't worship stuff. Okay, don't worship things that your eyes have made. Sometimes, there were times when the people of Israel said, well, we're still worshipping the true God, but we just want something to look at while we do that. And said, no, you can't do that. You must not do that. You'll distort the image of God in your mind. He says, no idols, no other gods. You need to worship him and him alone. But the third one is really important as well. Shall we say this one together? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Okay. So God's name is holy. God's name is precious. Now we have holy things, even in our lives. We might not call them holy, but they're special. Supposing someone's got a new carpet, and they say, well, that's special, it's brand new, I don't want to get muddy footprints all over it. So you take your shoes off, and many of you are really good habits, and you take your shoes off when you go into the house, whether the carpet's new or not. But we sort of treat certain things as special and say, let's just look after that. Or there might be a certain spoon, and say, don't put that spoon there, that's for that. And you keep it separate. We have ways of recognising that something is holy and special. But God's name is different. We each have a name, and we wouldn't like people sort of misusing our names, so we certainly wouldn't want that. But God's name is even more holy than that. The strange thing is, one of the things that people often do, and maybe you've done it, and I know that I've done it, is using God's name without even thinking. And so it's important to think about how this might happen, and how we can ask God's help so that we do keep his name holy and we don't misuse his name. Because God gives a warning. He says, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. One day we'll all stand before God, and if we've used his name as a swear word or if we used his name carelessly, we'll have to answer for that. It's a serious matter. So when are the times when we might be tempted to speak in a way that doesn't honour God's name? Let's have a think about this. So, does this ever happen to you? Do you ever get angry? Sometimes we do, don't we? Very honest of you, Max. We sometimes get angry. And then maybe things just come out of our mouths. And carelessly, that's a time when some people are tempted to use God's name in the wrong way. How about... I'm scared. Someone gets a surprise and they say, oh! And they use God's name when they shouldn't do. And it just comes out. How about I'm hurt? I remember a friend of mine at school years ago, Because he noticed that I was trying not to use God's name in the wrong way. And he says, well, what do you say if you hit your hand with a hammer by accident? What do you shout out? But we're to guard our hearts and guard our lips so that even when I'm hurt, that I don't say things that I regret and I don't use God's name in the wrong way. How about this? I'm just following the crowd. Maybe you said, well, everyone else just says this and I'm just doing what they do. It doesn't matter that much, does it? But God says it does. We read in the Psalms, it says, oh my God. And it was in worship. It was in prayer. It wasn't careless. It wasn't just because everyone was saying it. We must not misuse his name. Or do you know, sometimes people just think, well, if I just use these words, then I'll show off and everyone will think I'm great or everyone will listen to me. No, we've got to be careful. We've got to guard our hearts. These things just show us how easy it is to speak carelessly. And God says, be careful with your words and be especially careful with my name. Because actually, so many times we say things and then afterwards we think, I didn't realise what I was saying. And God says you need to think about every word that you say. My name is holy. So in all of these times, there is a better way. Let's see if that... Yeah, there we go. Look. There is a way that we can use God's name in a right way. And that is in worship and in prayer. The Bible is full of prayers. The most wonderful way to use God's name is in prayer. He doesn't say, don't ever use my name. He says, use it in the right way. We can use God's name in prayer. So here is a prayer that we can all pray. Shall we read this prayer together? It's from the Psalms, as so many prayers are. Let's read this prayer together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And that is from Psalm 19, verse 14. And we've all just used the Lord's name, and that's in the right way, in worship of him and in prayer. And maybe children, maybe adults, you're thinking, do you know what? I am careless with my words. And sometimes I have used God's name just without even thinking. There's a prayer that you and I can pray to ask him to help us, that our words and even our thoughts would honour God. Because Jesus says, your heart's like a fountain, and whatever's in your heart just bubbles out through your words. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let's start with the heart. God, please work in my heart so that I know you and I love you and I'm cleansed by what Jesus has done for me. And I want to speak for your glory. I want to use your name well. So we're thinking about worship today. That's a really important aspect of worship. Just as soon as we've got going, thinking about God's commandments, worshipping his name by using his name in the right way. So let's think about this a little bit more today. If we show the next PowerPoint, Lee, thank you. There we go. There's a wonderful scene that reminds us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he invites us to send our praise to heaven, lift our voices to God, and he has work for us to do on earth. So let's have a little think about this today. So worship and witness, that's our theme. Two really important steps of discipleship. Jesus had 12 disciples. But his intention was to have many, many more. The number of Jesus' followers has kept growing and growing. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're part of the most wonderful group that God has called together. We worship him and we want to witness for him. And we glorify God when we worship and witness. We glorify God when we worship, when we give worship to him and when we witness for him. And the Bible says in Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. So everything is for him and everything is made by him and everything is for his glory. And in this world where so many people don't know the true and living God, he wants us to be witnesses for him. Jesus, before he went back to heaven, after he died on the cross and risen and appeared to his disciples for 40 days, he said to his disciples, "You're going to be my witnesses. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit who's going to empower you, and you'll be my witnesses. Not just in Jerusalem, but in all the surrounding areas and even to the ends of the earth. You're going to be my witnesses." And worship and witness go together. And we're going to think about this today by learning about someone who came to follow Jesus and wanted to help others be followers of him too. Now, I'll give you a clue who this man was, right at the front of the group there. There was a time where when he heard the name Jesus, he got really angry and he wanted to put a stop to it. But then he totally changed. He met the risen Lord Jesus for himself. And then he was one of the most energetic followers of Jesus that the world has ever seen. Can anyone think who that might be? Elizabeth? Paul, the Apostle Paul. There he is leading a group of friends. Now, Paul was born again. Every one of us has been born, but maybe not every one of us has been born again. But he was brought into a new life by the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit came to live within him. He trusted in Jesus, and he was changed by God. He was brought into a loving relationship with the living God. He became a follower of God. You know, sometimes we play games where we follow the leader, and we run to wherever somebody else is. Maybe if you play a ball game like football or netball or basketball, you see where the ball is and you run to where it is. I want to be part of the action there. I want to catch it. I want to throw it. I want to kick it. So we sometimes follow in different ways. But to be a follower of Jesus, that's what Paul was. And that's what God invites each person to be, to follow Jesus in a new relationship. And his life was a life of worship. Week by week, he would want to be with God's people worshipping. And day by day, he'd want to be telling others about Jesus. It was a life of worship, and it was a life of witness. And can you see he had friends with him? It's good when we can worship God with other Christians, and when we can serve God with others as well. Some of you may have served on mission teams, maybe a beach mission team, where you've been with others, and because you've been together, it's been easier to witness for Jesus. That was a bit like Paul with his friends there. Now, we don't know exactly who those men were, but they could have been people like Silas and Timothy and Luke, because Luke was the one who wrote the book of Acts, and he often talks about, well, we did this and we did that. So we know that Luke was with Paul for some of the time, so that might be who some of those guys were. By the way, it's actors. We don't actually know what Paul looked like, but that's pretty cool that we can see actors dressed up like Paul and his friends to help us think about what it would have been like. And they've shown us this story that we can follow it. Now, here's Paul. What's Paul got next to him there? He's thinking about something. Anybody tell me what Paul has got next to him? Yeah? He's got a map, hasn't he? That's it. That's what you were going to say, isn't it, Max? Because he's thinking about, where should I go? And there was times and he was praying and he was waiting upon the Lord. And there was times where the Lord said to him, "No, I don't want you to go there, but I want you to go there." Sometimes it was because there was an opportunity and he was like, "Well, if I've got the chance, then I think this is God's will for me to go and speak to these people." So he had to do some thinking and he had to do some planning, but he had to think about, where do I go next to tell people about Jesus? Now, something really special happened to him. I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 16 about what happened. You can follow if you like in the Bibles. I'll tell you which page it's on. I'm going to read a few verses from Acts chapter 16. It's on page 925 in the church Bibles. And it's under the heading, "The Macedonian Call." This was something really special that happened to Paul as he was thinking and praying and listening to God. So, Acts 16 and verse 6. "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia." This is all different places that Paul could find on the map. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, God doesn't always speak to people through visions. Today, we mainly hear from God through his word, because we've got the complete New Testament, we've got the complete scriptures. So I'm not saying you should expect God to give you great big visions of what you should do, but the point is, Paul was waiting on God. He wanted to know what to do, and God made it really clear. It was really, really clear what he should do. God wants us to grow in our relationship with him so that we get to know what he is like and what he would do. People used to have bracelets. I don't know if anyone's got a bracelet that says WWJD. And the question was, what would Jesus do? And it's a good question. But the only way to know what would Jesus do is to find out what did Jesus do. And we can read in the Bible what Jesus did and also what he calls his followers to do. So we can have a really, really good idea of how God wants us to live and what he wants us to do just by studying his word and waiting on him, waiting upon the Lord. Do you wait upon the Lord? Is there a time each day, and listen, I'm speaking to myself as well as to you, we say, this time is where I just want to listen to God by reading his word, and I want to call upon his name and give him praise. Is there a time each day where you wait on God? One of the reasons why Paul was so effective as a servant of Jesus is because he was so diligent in waiting upon God. And there's a lesson for each one of us there. God made it really clear what Paul was to do. And he's made it really clear in his word what we should do. So Paul and his friends, they set off. And they crossed over the water. They went to a new place, a new country, a new continent, and a new city. And they ended up in the city of Philippi. Now, in Philippi, there was people believed all kinds of different things. Just like in our city today, maybe your friends, maybe your neighbors, maybe your family, they believe all kinds of different things. They might believe in God, they might not. They might believe in living certain ways or certain other ways. They might have lots of different ways of seeing the world. That's how it was for Jesus' disciples in the early days, and that's how it is now. So we have to be prepared to be talking to people who are different from us and listen to them, but say, I want you to know about Jesus. That's what Paul and his friends were seeking to do. So it was what you might call a pagan city. There were people worshipping idols, and Paul knew that that wasn't right because he had the Ten Commandments and he was seeking to follow God. But he was looking for a place to start to worship God and to witness for him. And they heard that if they left the city, and can you see where they are? Can you see what they're walking along something? Can anyone see where they are? Tell me what you can see. Whereabouts are they? Yeah? Yeah, they're by the riverside. And they heard that by the riverside, there would be a group, mainly a group of women, who were meeting to worship the true God and to pray. And they thought that would be a good place to start. Maybe they had influence from the Jewish nation. Maybe they had the influence of the Old Testament scriptures. And there they were. And, well, there's a lady there that was very, very well dressed. She must have had a bit of money and a bit of substance about her. She must have had wealth, because only like royalty and nobility and people who are really wealthy would wear a purple robe like that. Anyone know what her name was? She bought and sold purple cloth, which is a really valuable thing. Yeah, Elizabeth? Lydia. Her name was Lydia. We used to have a little Lydia in this church, but she's worshipping the Lord elsewhere today. But we praise God for her. But that was the original Lydia in the Bible. There she was. So Paul wanted to worship God with other like-minded people, but he wanted to witness for Christ. Because it's not enough to know a little bit about God. You need to know how to be right with God. So there she was, there was Lydia, and Paul and his friends, they asked to join in this meeting by the river. And they let them. They wanted to hear from Paul. So he took the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. He said, "You're worshipping God, but there's only one way to God, and that is through his Son, the Lord Jesus. You're worshipping the God of the Old Testament scriptures, but they point to Jesus, and he's come. And so let me tell you about him." Paul was given the opportunity to teach them the scriptures and to teach them that Jesus is the one in whom you need to trust. And there's something that a life of worship and a life of witness have in common. They have Jesus at the centre. A life of worship has Jesus at the centre because he's the only way to God. We sometimes sing here in the children's song, "I am the way, the truth and the life." That's what Jesus says. There's no other way to God except through the Lord Jesus. And a life of witness has Jesus at the centre as well. Because if you know him, you know how worthy he is, that everyone should praise him. And so in a world of people that don't know him and aren't praising him, it's the mission of God's people to go out and tell others about Jesus. None of us are brilliant at it, but we're called each day to pray, "Lord, who can I speak to today? Who are you sending me to today? In the course of my work, how can I point to Jesus with my actions and with my words?" A life of worship and of witness. And I'll tell you what. Does anyone here think that the Apostle Paul had an easy life, going around to lots of different places, telling them about Jesus? Who thinks it was an easy life? No, Max, you're shaking your head. I agree with you. It wasn't an easy life. He had a lot of pain, a lot of difficulty. Maybe you can sympathise with that. But he had great joy, because it's such a joy when you give your life over to the worship of God through the Lord Jesus and witness for him. That's where joy is found, in living for him. And however much you might think, "Oh, I wish I was better at witnessing for Jesus," that's where the joy is. And so we're encouraged to give our lives to Jesus, to let others know who he is, and to worship him with our own lives and hearts. Now, we can learn something from Lydia too, not just from the Apostle Paul. We can learn something from Lydia. There's a verse in the prophets that says this: "In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul." Lydia didn't know everything that she needed to know about God and about salvation, how to be right with him. She didn't know everything that she needed to know. But she was in the right place to hear it. Now maybe there's someone here, and week by week you come along to church, and maybe your parents bring you, children, or maybe if you're older you make this decision and you come, and you just sense that this is the right thing to do. You're not quite sure why, but you just sense that this is the thing that I should do. Well, you're in the place where you can hear about how to be saved, about how to be right with God. And there was Lydia, and when Paul spoke to her, she was ready to listen. Now, the Bible says that God was at work in her heart. He always makes the first move. This is what it says about Lydia in verse 14. It says, "One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul." So suddenly for Lydia, everything made sense. And maybe this is a prayer that you can pray. "Lord, I want this to make sense. Please help me to understand." Suddenly for Lydia, she could see. God opened her heart to understand. Yes, suddenly I can see that the Bible is all about Jesus. He's the key. He's the centre. He's what it's all about. Yes, I can see that I'm not right on my own. That someone needs to pay the price for my sins. I need a new heart. I need to be born again. And yes, I can see that Jesus died for me. And yes, I believe that when he died for me. That my sins were laid on him. And now I'm right with God, and now I'm free because of Jesus. That's what happened to Lydia that day. She was there, she was waiting, she was seeking to worship God. She was in the right place to hear the truth, and God opened her heart to the Lord Jesus. May that be the case for someone here today. Please ask if you want to know more about these things. We'd be only too happy to talk with you. And then Lydia's life changed. She said, please, can I be baptized? Look, we're by the river here. Can I be baptized to show that I'm a follower of Jesus? And Paul said, yes, you can do that. Baptism itself, we thought about this a couple of weeks ago. It's an act of worship to God, and it's an act of witness. And it leads to many more acts of worship and witness. You know, I look back to the day of my baptism, the 3rd of July 1994. I couldn't tell you what day I became a Christian. Some people here can. But I can tell you what day I was baptized. And it was like a line in the sand. I knew that I was doing what God had called me to do. I knew that I trusted in Jesus. And so now I can look back to that day as an act of worship and witness. Other people saw what I was doing. And I was so glad to be able to give glory to God in that way. Lydia was baptized to show that she was a follower of Jesus. And you know, we said that Lydia was wealthy. She had a decent-sized home, and so she said, well, I want you to come back. I want my home to be used for God. I want others to be blessed by my home now that I'm a follower of Jesus. And probably the church in Philippi, the new church, started meeting in her home probably, because that seemed to be like a base for mission and for witness. So there was Paul, and he said, yeah, we'll come back. We recognize that God is doing this work in your heart and life. And then because Paul had been able to witness for Christ, now there were more with whom he could worship Christ together. So you see, this is how the church grows. Sometimes we think church is about keeping everything the same. But actually, church is meant to be a dynamic thing that keeps on changing. More people here. Maybe some people are sent out to a different place, to a different country, or to a different city to share the Lord Jesus there. Church is dynamic. If this church keeps filling up, we'll want to be thinking, maybe we can plant a church. Or maybe there's different ways that we can serve the city as he causes us to grow, as he causes more people to believe in Jesus. But there they were. God was doing a new thing. They were worshipping God together. And they started witnessing together as well. There's a lovely song that says, oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. That's what the church was saying then, and it's what the church is saying now. So let's remember that today before we close with another song. We glorify God when we give worship to him and when we witness for him. Should we say this verse together as we close from Romans 11:36? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Amen.